Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
These are times of the anointing, times of the anointing. We're going deeper, we're going deeper, and doing more. Oh, how I love. Come on, sing, and I delight in you.
And I delight in you.
You're my special treasure.
Father, we're grateful for today and for your beautiful presence. Lift up your hand and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom will give you direction, and revelation will give you a flash of something that will change your life. Wisdom. Direction. Ecclesiastes says wisdom is profitable to direct. Oh, yes. Father, we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Monsters number four. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven because, and it's against ungodliness and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest. All right? And is giving the reasons. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. Neither were what?
Thankful.
But became vain in their imaginations. Their thoughts became useless. And their foolish heart was darkened. Now, when you stop being thankful, you can't have a neutral mind. You are either thankful or unthankful. And when you are not thankful, you murmur. And murmuring and complaining are the signs of disgruntled people. So you need to be very, very careful about being a thankful person. If you marry an unthankful person, the unthankful person will look at you, who other people look at, and say, oh, wow. Charlie, your husband is blessed, too. Oh, Charlie, your wife is blessed, too. Such an A1 brother or an A1 sister. But he doesn't think so. Or she doesn't think so, because she's no more thankful for all the A1istic things that are done. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. So that's how come you have A1 marriages or people who have A1 husbands and A1 wives who are still not happy. Sometimes they are more unhappy than even the ones with Z5 and X17. Those with X5 or X19 husbands and Z40 wives. You see that some of them are even rejoicing. Are you listening to me? So, in this important series, it says, when they were neither thankful, they became vain. And vain is a word that is used in the Bible. It means useless. So your thoughts are useless thoughts. Yes. Because you are not thankful. Do you get it? Yes. So this is all that God is trying to teach you. That you need to be thankful. Otherwise, you're going to change so much. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, wherefore, we, having received a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us have what?
Grace.
How many want grace? What is grace? Grace is undeserved help. Undeserved help. I mean, who doesn't want undeserved help? Huh? Who doesn't want undeserved help? Undeserved help. So let us have undeserved help, okay, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. No, to be helped is a fantastic thing. As a young man, when my parents bought me a house, you see, I was helped because in my 20s, I became an owner of a house. Which a normal 20-year-old cannot have, unless you have help, which you also don't deserve. Because maybe you are an ungrateful brat and you don't even deserve anything. You may be walking around as a beautiful girl in the church. But if somebody points out and tells brother, look to your left in a green dress, that's what you need. Then you start to look. Who is in a green dress today? Yes. Who is in the green? Ah, okay. All right. In the green. To your... That's to my left. I don't know your left. She's there? Ah. She may be the one. And unless somebody points it out to you, that's grace. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. Lift your hand and say, I need grace. Oh, I need grace. Supposing you go and work somewhere. You are not even good at doing anything. But then somebody important takes a liking to you. You get what I'm saying? And then starts even helping you. And the person tells you, look, just come to work by 8 o'clock. You'll be okay. It's giving you a tip. Just be there by 8. Even if you don't do anything, be there by 8. Wow, really? So, yeah, it's very important here. Here, that's what's important. Where I work, it's not important to be at work at 8. Me, I don't like those things. I've never made anybody come at a particular time. Yes. You can come at 8, you don't even have to come. Just do the work. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Do the work. Yeah. Yes. How many want undeserved help? Do you think you are the only one doing your hair? A lot of people are doing their hair. A lot of people are doing makeup. No, no, beloved is coming. Pray for those with daughters. It's not easy to have a daughter. Now, look at the verse. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, when you have grace, you can serve God well. Yes. Yes. My mother always tells me the people that were nice to her. Because you see, when she came to Ghana in 1963, yes, she didn't know anything. And somebody told her that if a mosquito bites you, you will die. Yes. She had never been. So she used to sit up in the night to watch for the mosquito, because it's like if a mosquito bites you, you are finished. A young 20-something year old girl, how will she know? She doesn't know. But one or two people will show love or interest in somebody who is a foreigner or a visitor. And the Bible says you should be especially kind to foreigners. Undeserved help. Yes. Are you listening? Yes. Let us have grace. Through grace, you can serve God well. Now, what does it have to do with what I'm saying? Change, put it back. Change the version. Change the version and let's see what it says. Whereby we are receiving a kingdom, let us be thankful. It doesn't say let us have grace. That's which version? I change it again so that in case you don't believe. NASB, let us show gratitude. It's the same word. Thankful and grace are the same. If you are thankful, grace starts to operate in a supernatural way in your life. If you are thankful, grace starts to operate in a supernatural way. Change the version. Let us, any. Therefore, we must be thankful that we have a kingdom. Because we are thankful, we must serve God. So you see, the modern versions, they don't use grace. They use thankful. Because it's the same word. In Italian, grazie. In Spanish, gracias. In French, grâce à Dieu. And so on. These are the languages that come from Latin. Some people don't know what Latin is. Latin is an old language out of which several languages picked many words. Yes. It's a language, an old language, out of which a lot of Italian, a lot of French, and a lot of English are from Latin words. I don't know whether I should go and say these things at other places. So that is why it says we must be thankful. Change the version again. All the versions, because they are translating, it says, let us, and because we are thankful, we should worship God in a way that will please him. So you see, all the other versions don't use let us have grace. They always say, let us be thankful. Let us be grateful. So here I am. I'm writing books. You have all the books. You have messages. You have YouTube channels. Show the YouTube channels. You have YouTube channels. You have crusades in your churches, in your church. A crusade ministry, like a bonky type of ministry that are filling stadiums. All this is right here. But if you are not thankful, you get what I'm saying? You don't have the grace that the others outside will be looking on. So our pastor hasn't written any book for us. Our pastor doesn't preach messages that we can also preach. But when our pastor preaches, we are blessed, but we can't preach it also. Yeah. Have you not noticed that when I preach, you can preach what I preach? Or even you have the book with the notes. Yes. You can commit. What's happening? And you are trying to be thankful. Yes. Show us the channels. Yeah, you can go to any of the channels. No. Show me channels. People don't know what is a channel. The round, listen, when you go to YouTube, the round ones are the channels. Don't click the squares. Look for a round. Go back to the original. The diagnosis. You see, you Google my name and then it comes around. So when you press the round. And then you scroll down, and you see what? More rounds. The round is the main thing in the YouTube. Are you getting the revelation? So this one are Camps, International Ministry, Flow Church, Give Thyself Holy, Conference Ghana, and what? Documentaries, Revival at 7, what is Impartation? Yeah. Go on. Healing Jesus campaign. So press Healing Jesus campaign. So now when you go down, let's see what you have there. Wait. Go. Yeah, all of them are there. Any country you want. Press view all. Okay. You can see all the countries. Keep going down so that we see Angola, Bangui, Rwanda, Gabon. Is that all? Is that a view all? Okay. Yeah. Look at Liberia. Oh, yes. It's more than Rambo, I tell you. Fast forward the thing. What is the person doing? Forward it to the end, towards the end. Yeah. No. Not a miracle. The preaching. Go back. Yeah, so that we can see the crowd a bit. Beautiful. Hey. The demons have taken the rich man to hell. The rich man clothed in purple has been thrown into hell. A bit, brother, go back a bit in the preaching, yeah, so that we can see. So this is Liberia. You'll be there. I think, yeah, you see the stadium, it's full of people. The whole stadium is full. Yeah, you can watch any crusade. You are thankful. I'm saying that you have all this in your church, but when you are not thankful, you don't receive the grace or enjoy the grace that is working. Yes. Amen. Go back to the, yeah, scroll a bit so that we can see some. I don't know the filming. No, the same one. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. So, I'm saying that receive the grace. And how do you receive the grace? Just be thankful. Yes. I'm preaching to you a message you can understand. Be thankful. And God is going to bless your life mightily. Amen. You may be seated. Now, let us go through the stages of offense, the stages to becoming a monster. Stages to becoming a monster. Stage number one, withdrawal. Stage number one, withdrawal. Songs of Solomon chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. We are going all the way to verse 6. Everybody say withdrawal. How do you know that you are becoming offended? All right. Now, why am I preaching this to you? Because John 16 verse 1. Look at John 16 verse 1. King James, please. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. I'm preaching to you so that you don't become offended. Because offenses, the Bible says, they will happen. You can't stay with other human beings for long without becoming hurt about something. Look, there is no family. Anybody here whose family have issues or quarrels, stand up, like in your family. I don't mean like you and your wife. Some of you are so always trying to show that you have a good marriage and all that. I'm talking about your family. The extended family, the whole family. Yes. That there are quarrels and there are issues. Zoe's family doesn't have. Mother Zoe's family. Mother Zoe, you don't have to join us if your family doesn't have problems. We celebrate your family. Your family is the best family. But there are some people at the back there, their families are perfect. Wow. A1 families. How many would like to meet that group over there? Please, after church, bring those people to my office. I want to meet them. I believe they have the best family. How many want the keys from their family to get into your family so that your family will be a good family from now? Okay. Yes. Sit down, please. It says, this I have spoken to you, that you should not be offended. It's not a good thing to be hurt and to be offended. So there are things you can do that prevent you, but you must also know the stages that happen to you when you are offended, so that you can know if you are offended. You get what I'm saying? A pastor said to me some years ago, always try to have a sweet spirit. Yes. How many would like to marry a beautiful girl who is offended? She's sitting there offended. Obviously, she's changed. Her beauty even is not working. Songs of Solomon chapter 5, verse 1. I am come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh, I have eaten honeycomb. I've drunk my wine with milk. Oh, friends, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. You are sleeping, but the heart is awake. It's too beautiful. How many want to be sleeping and your heart is? In Spanish, mi corazón palpita por ti. My corazón is a palpita por ti. Okay, that's what the verse is saying. I sleep, but my heart waketh. All right? It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew water. Water has filled my head. And my locks with the drops of the night. Wow. This brother is lying by his beloved and he's trying to wake her up and say, my beloved, open to me. My head is, it's not clear. I have put off my coat. Hey, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Hey, it looks like somebody is giving some excuses. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. And my bowels were moved for him. I don't know what you are thinking about. We are reading from the Bible now. I rose up to open to my beloved. And my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Hey. Verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. My beloved had withdrawn himself. You didn't understand it, you see. Or you understood it. Verse 2. You see, in Songs of Solomon, sometimes he's talking about the man, sometimes he's talking about the woman, and he exchanges without informing you that he's changing. So you don't know who he's talking about. That's how Songs of Solomon is written. So it's like poetic language. You get it? So he says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Mi corazón es palpita. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh. So this beloved, I don't know whether it's the man or the woman. Saying, open to me, my sister. So now he was a man. My love, my dove, my undefiled. Look, try to keep yourself undefiled members of Christ's body. Huh? Sisters, some of you know, I've slept with 14 guys and I'm about to get married. It doesn't really matter. It matters. It matters. Because you see that the love is stronger because you are undefiled. Open to me, my sister. She should be a Christian sister. You can't marry unbelievers. My sister, my love, my dove. Dove means gentle and easily, made to fly. And my undefiled. So it matters. Tell your neighboring sister, especially, it matters, eh? It matters. You think it doesn't matter these days? You say, oh, but who is a virgin? There are no more virgins. The only virgin is Virgin Atlantic. Huh? Virgin olive oil. It matters. Verse 3. I have put off my coat. Somebody is giving excuses. How shall I put it on? How can I wake up at such a time? I've washed my feet. How can I defile them? Hey. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved. Bowel movement. Maybe it rather made the person go to the toilet. We don't even know what it means. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, like my hands were charged, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Verse 6, I opened to my beloved finally, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Withdrawal. Be careful that you don't withdraw. Once you see yourself withdrawing, maybe you used to sit in the front, now you've gone to sit at the back. Maybe you used to sit where you were seen, but now you still come, but you are sitting where nobody sees you or nobody can see you. There are all signs of withdrawal. You've gone silent on the WhatsApp group. You used to comment all the time and forward videos. Always you were forwarded videos. You were the main forwarding of videos. Forwarded many times. It always comes from you. You've gone silent. You used to smile. You used to say amen. But now you don't smile anymore. You don't say amen anymore. You used to jump up when I was preaching, but you just sort of sit back now. Now you have a posture. My beloved had withdrawn himself. Watch out within yourself. Be careful. If you withdraw from me, you will not have the benefit I will give you. And you don't have the benefit of your brother. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. So if you withdraw from me, you'll be surprised. Verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. So when you withdraw, the person who would have lifted you up, you withdrawn from the person. You know, sometimes when people get into trouble, they withdraw, and that makes things worse. Because the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Yeah. Woe to him that is alone. Now, a man who is married to in the ministry, who is married to a woman who is not helpful, is like somebody who is alone. You know, when people become monsters or orangus or rebellious or whatever, I've noticed that a lot of the outcome depends on the wife. Yes, a lot of outcome depend on the wives. You see, there are certain wives who will not take certain things. They will say, you know something? If that's what you want to do, then you do it without me. Yes. I'm sorry. I cannot turn against my father. I don't, my Bible doesn't teach me. I won't follow. I can't do this. What you are doing, I can't do it, and I won't go. And that is where the turning point is, because it means that if you carry on doing this, you lose not only your position in the ministry, but you lose your marriage. And many people are not prepared to lose both. So you find out that Ecclesiastes 4:10 says that if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. So that's where marriage is supposed to help. That if you had a woman who would speak some kind of sense and also take a stance that this, I'm sorry, you, if that's what you want, then I am not and I will be against. That's what Abigail did. Her husband was a fool. She was married to a fool called Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. And Nabal was a fool. The Bible says Nabal was a fool. What do you do when you are married to a fool? Do you allow yourself to be welded to his disasters? Are you supposed to follow a fool into utter darkness and destruction? I don't think so. Peter said, it's better that we obey God than to obey man. And such a test is where it's difficult. Pray that you never be married to somebody who one day, after you've married a person for some time, then now the person starts all kinds of things. I don't believe in that, whatever. Who is this guy, whatever. I've had people who are married to people, they took my books, threw them out, my tapes, threw them out. We don't want this tape in this house. We don't want this book in this house. We don't want whatever. And over the years, what I've watched is that all the wives who followed all this, it hasn't changed the person. It hasn't corrected the person. It hasn't helped the person. It has rather allowed the person to be completely destroyed in the end and with the person. All the successful missionaries, often they have good flowing wives, agreeable wives, agreeable. Because the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? So you must know that two are better. So when you withdraw from the one, you lose the input that should have come from the one. That's what Ecclesiastes 4 verse 10 is saying. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 10. Yes. It says, if one falls or one is going off, the other one will help him to come back. I said, no, you can't do that. You are becoming an orangu. You can't do that. If that's what you want to do, you'll do it without me. Over the years, I've seen it. I remember one sister, the husband was a main person. Main. And then suddenly at a point, he changed. You know, that's why sometimes when people see new people, they are not so willing to welcome people. Because he changed so much and started to dislike the church, hated the church. He said, come out of the church. Leave the church. You can't be in the church. So she was forced to go out of the church with her little children. Today, all the little children are atheists. None of them believes even in God. The children of the people who stayed in church, all of them are either pastors or assistant pastors or whatever. It's a very sad thing. You just look at it. You've taken lives and handed them over to Satan. It's amazing. So you have to look at it and ask yourself, what is the price? Look at verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? How can one be warm alone? But maybe in this weather, you can be warm alone. In Ghana, you can be warm alone. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, marriage is a threefold cord. Those who are into making ropes, right, will tell you that the strongest rope is a threefold cord. That's the strongest, not two, and not four, and not five. It's three. Three is the strongest rope that is used in industry anywhere. It's three, not four. Because the maximum that you can do is three. From four, one is redundant. And five, one is redundant. That's why the threefold cord is very strong. So marriage that is very strong is man, woman, and God. The threefold cord, that is what is strong. Man and woman alone is not strong at all. Because all manses, we know ourselves. Manses, are you there? We know ourselves. Is it not true, brothers? Brothers, are you there or you are leaving? Yes, if you allow us to not be good at all. So it takes man, woman, and God. That is why the triangle of marriage is always man, woman, and God. It forms a triangle. That's the threefold cord, not four, not five. It's three. That's what is possible. That's what is strong. Are you listening to me? I am saying to you that withdrawing, and when you withdraw yourself, it's not to your benefit because you are missing me and you are missing my input and I'm missing your input in my life. That's why when you take a coal pot, how many have used a coal pot before? Coal pot, pot of coals. Where are you from? Pot of coals. Okay? Coal pot, huh? Okay, sorry, new generation. Coals together. If you take charcoal, if you take one out, the one that is hot red, and you put it alone on the side, the fire of that one will go out. And the other ones that are there, it's not that they are better than anybody else, but they give each other some fire. You get what I'm saying? So the fire continues where they are together. Oh, yes. That's a coal pot, a pot of coals. But show us a burning coal, yes. Now, when Satan wants to destroy you, he will cause you to be offended. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. It will cause you to be offended. Yes. And your stage one, your response will be to just withdraw. It's a normal reflex. If something hits you and you just move your hand back, it's a reflex. And so you should be careful. Because if this church is here by the grace of God in 10 years, 15 years from now, you see, where will you be? Would you have withdrawn? There are going to be at least 15 years, 15 different things that can make you to withdraw in the next 15 years. If you are still here. Count the years. And you can count the issues that will make you, not even that somebody would do something to you, but what you expected him to do, he didn't do. I thought that when this happened, you would have done this. I thought that at least this and that. I remember when it was your, they said, I did this and that. But I thought this and that. Hey. So many expectations. So many expectations. Yesterday, there were five weddings here. And three naming ceremonies. I wanted to be at every one of the naming ceremonies and every one of the weddings. But I could not come. And I can't say on the microphone the reason why I couldn't come. I can't say on the microphone the reason why I couldn't come. So before you realize I've offended you, say, huh? We are in the church. No, no, we didn't know. Sorry for left, and also sorry for right. Because lefties are complaining about this thing. Sorry for left and right. All those of you online, we welcome you. I see over 1,500 people joining us. Oh, clap for them. Clap for those online. Oh, yes. Ask your neighbor, have you withdrawn before? What did they say? Huh? Yes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. I'm talking about withdrawal. Withdrawal not good, oh. You've moved to the back. You've moved to the back. You know, years ago, I had a pastor. He came to church. I called him after church. I called him. I said, come. He came. I said, you know, as a pastor, you have to come on time. At this time, and you must be here at this time and for this. He said, thank you. Okay. That's the end. Look, he moved. He used to sit here. He moved to the back. Yeah. And from the back, he moved out of the church. Yes. You were just moving nearer to the door. Just for telling you that there should be a difference between a pastor and an ordinary member. You are called pastor. Is it for nothing that you are made a pastor? Is it for nothing that you are holding the title pastor? Are people not supposed to look up to you? If you, the pastor, cry, you come after the service or late. What will the members of the church also do? We can't say anything to you. We can't correct you. We can't talk about anything. Second Timothy chapter 3, before you come into this one, 2 Timothy 3:16. What does it say? It says all scripture is given for doctrine, then the rest of them is for blasting. Reproof is blasting, correction is blasting, instruction is blasting. All of them are blasting. Percent of the word of God is blasting us and giving us instructions of what to do. You can't tell me what to do. You can't come here and tell me, I just came to a church. The fact that I've come to church doesn't mean that, do you know how old I am? Do you know when I was born? Do you know what? Hey, sorry for left and sorry for right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Don't withdraw. Don't withdraw. Don't withdraw. Withdrawal is a mistake. But speaking the truth in love. This is the verse that will save your marriage. You have to speak three words. Speak is step number one. Don't not speak. You know, one day a sister, please, if you stand, you will stand for a long time. One day a sister made a stew for her husband. Do you see? Do you know what type of stew it was? Onion stew. Onion stew. Yes. It's a type of, without tomatoes, onion stew. Yes, onion stew. Onion stew. See, he made the stew. The man ate it. Then one day, he told somebody that he doesn't like onion stew at all. The girl was surprised. So all this time you have been eating the onion stew
without speaking.
That's why the first one is to speak. You don't be quiet. The quietness has made you withdrawn, and your attitude is funny. Then number two, you speak the truth. You don't tell lies. You speak the truth. What is true? You get it? You don't tell lies. You can't build anything on lies. When I found out that you were lying, you've removed the foundation. We can't even walk again. You have to speak the truth. You don't tell people that they are looking nice when they're not looking nice. Because you want peace. You are such as looking nice. You want peace. So you are speaking the truth. Eh? You are telling lies. You are looking nice. You are the most handsome brother in the world. You are the most beautiful. Meanwhile, the person you find as the most beautiful is her sister. Not her. Not her. It's her sister you find as the most beautiful. All lies. Speak the truth. One day a brother called his friend on the phone. Hello. How is it? Oh yeah. Things are working. So yeah. Things are working. Then he was talking to the guy. He said, can you see them? Can you see them? Because he was asking him whether he could see some people that he loved, his girlfriend or whatever. Can you see them? He couldn't see them. So he realized the guy was sad. So, oh, yeah, I can see them. Oh, she's looking so beautiful. She's wearing a green dress with a red. And he said that to describe an imagination. She's looking so. And the man was, they said, really? He said, yes. And who else is there? Oh, this is there. He said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was just lying to the man. He just giving imagination to the guy. And when he realized the guy, he said, the man said, thank you. Thank you, sir. I'll call you back. You've learned to tell lies. Describing what is not there. Another brother called his father. His father said, oh, He called his father and said, Daddy, let me call you back. I'm in the library. I'll call you back. I can't speak. I can't speak now. I'm in the library. Hey. He was in another country. He wasn't in the library. Ephesians 4:15, look at it. But speaking, number one, speak. Number two is what? Speak the truth. And then number three, speak the truth in love. Even though you are speaking the truth, you have to have a way of saying it. If you are looking ugly because of what you wear, you can't come and say, you are ugly today. You have to say, what will you say? This dress is not the best of all the dresses you have. And I don't like it when you wear this dress on Sundays, if you can change it. There are nicer dresses. I prefer another dress. Don't wear this dress when I'm around. You are ugly. Today you are ugly. Ah. Is it your tongue, the tongue of a lizard or what? One brother, he had a wife who used to speak the truth in wickedness. Yes.
It's a way of speaking.
So, after some years, he divorced her. And he always remembered the things she used to say. One day he was saying, he said, hey, that one, she used to tell me, bushman. She used to tell me, you are a bushman. He said, why is she today? Today she used to say, I'm a bushman. She used to say, swine, bushman, this, that. Hey! Speaking the truth in wickedness. Even if it's a bushman, is that how to say it?
Why use such words? Why? Why? The choice of words.
So I gave him salad. And then he was so happy, he was asking for more. This bushman is asking for more. Wow. When she was sacked, when you are sacked, that's when you see who is a bushman.
The man left the bush.
Okay. That's not even the verse we are looking at. Go back to it. Go back. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love may grow. Relationships grow when you speak. And when you speak the truth. But when you tell lies or you don't speak, the relationship between us doesn't grow. We have to speak the truth to each other and our relationship, but not the truth with grace. The Bible says Jesus came with grace, truth and grace. Not just pure truth. Pure truth is a little difficult.
Beautiful. With grace.
Grace and truth came by Jesus, not just truth. You need truth with grace. Next verse. Ephesians 4:15, please. May grow up. How many want your relationship to grow? How many want your relationship to grow? Do you want your relationship? You have to speak the truth. Always speak the truth in love. Hello. Hello. Verse 15. Hello. Yes. You may grow up into him in all things. Now, verse 16 is the verse we are actually looking for. From whom the body, that's why you don't withdraw yourself. The whole body fitly joined together. You see, closeness is of God.
Thank you.
We must be close. And in our church, we are close. Yes, we are close. And people are jealous of us because we are close. Yes. So we must extend the closeness as new people join. So that more of us are closer and closer and closer. That is why you must enjoy the YouTube channels and the books and the teachings and all that is available. The songs. That also makes us close. Well, look at the verse. It says, from whom the body fitly joined together. It's like we are joined, we are linked, we are close. We are compacted. Look at the word. And compacted. Compacted. Not just together, but we are compacted. I can't get away from you. You can't easily get away from me. We are compacted. By what? What makes us compact? By what every joint supplies. You see, if you withdraw from me, my joints will not supply what you need to help you anymore because you withdrawn. That's why withdrawal, Satan wants to make us go apart. When we are apart, what I'm supposed to supply, the joint is supposed to supply, you will not get your supplies. Look, if you, in the body, you take a part and you disconnect it, you know, that's why they are so concerned about blood supply. To a place. To the leg, to the arm. To the leg. If you block the blood supply to one, that place will die. To die. So if you block the supplies that are coming, you may be a toe, but you can't live without the heart and the blood vessels and the whole body. You need me, and I also need you. If you are even a heart, You need the legs to walk to the restaurant to go and buy, get food. And you need your mouth to eat the food. And the stomach to digest the food, to turn it into something that can be absorbed into the blood, which will go to the heart. So withdrawing and separating, do you get it? Changes the nature of everything. A space is a very big thing. Don't allow a space that is not supposed to be there. A space is a big thing. It's called, in Hebrew, it's called the firmament. That's day two creation. Look at day two. Genesis. It's a big thing to have a space. He said, let there be a firmament between the waters and the waters. And the word firmament, and the firmament divided the waters from the waters. That's just the, and the only thing that was created on day two was a space. Look at it. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the waters from the firmament. Under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. That was all. It was a space. Check the chance. And the evening and the morning was the second day. Like the space between the waters is all that was created on day two. Wow. It's the only thing that happened in day two. So when there is a gap between us, it's a very big thing that has happened. When you withdraw in a certain way, a very big thing has happened. Look at a church diversion, and that's exactly what happened. God made the space, the huge space between the waters, and he separated the water under the space from the water above the space. And God called the huge space sky. He called the huge space sky. Look at it. And there was evening, and there was morning, and it was day two. Just a space. For day two. Day two is only the space. I mean, people don't know the creation. It's just a space was what is day two? Creation. A space is a big thing. Don't allow too much space where God has designed for us to be closer. The space is not helping you. I'm telling you. Your withdrawing is not helping you. It's a sign of your hurt. You see, when you are not hurt, you would have been jumping around and flowing. Your hurt makes you step back. Yes, and create a space, which is not a small. I mean, you see, people think God made the animal, God made it. Look, day two is the space. Only the space. So, the Bible says every joint supplies. Your shepherd supplies. Your bacenta leader supplies. Your friend supplies. Your pastor supplies. Everybody supplies. So when you make a space, you create a space between the water and the water. It's as much as one out of the seventh of creation. Oh, that's big. Even man, we are day six. We are day six. You and I are day six, and we were not alone on day six with animals. We were created with animals. Day six creation is animals. Us and we shared it with animals. But the space was alone. It's a big thing to have a space. So Satan is in the business of making spaces between where there should not be space. Hey, this is serious. Oh. You know, there are people who come and say, oh, this guy is my friend. This guy is my friend. You know, this guy is my friend. Sometimes I look at them and I say, really? You see, you people, there are levels of being together. Some of you have a firmament between you and your friend, and your friend is calling you your friend. There are other friendships without firmaments. You've got a firmament between you and that brother. He doesn't even know anything about you, and you call yourself friends. That's why you see people, you meet somebody in church or you meet somebody else, and say, I'll marry you in 2 weeks' time. You say, hey, there's a big firmament and you are going to get married. Back to Ephesians 4:16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies or every part supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes the increase of the body. Change the version, perhaps this one is too complicated. From the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds up itself in love as each part does its work. So when you make a firmament between this part and this part, how can it work? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. I'm talking to you about withdrawing. Stage one offense. Tell your neighbor, are you in stage one? Stage one. God forbid. Now, let us do Americano. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let's do what? Hold on tight. One day, some people got on a plane. I don't want to mention the country. The country, starts with one of the alphabets. So the passenger called, excuse me, sir, I'm looking for the seatbelt here. I'm looking for a seatbelt. Is that? There's no seatbelt here. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. There's no seatbelt. Just hold on tight. What seatbelt again? Just hold on tight. Put back the scripture. Let us hold fast. Tell your neighbor, hold on tight. Take your phone and type, hold on tight. Hold on tight. I'm holding tight. I'm holding on to you tight. Yes. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to withdraw myself. Do you remember that scripture? My beloved had withdrawn himself. Yeah! How many want to marry some beloved who is withdrawing herself? Oh, no. Hold on tight. Without wavering, for he's faithful that promise. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. So if you don't have me, how can I provoke you? If you cut yourself off from me, how can I provoke? How can I press you and make you do some good works and some love? If I'm not in your life, how would I provoke you? You need to be provoked. If you withdraw from me, how? Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. Now look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We should not create firmaments. We should not create firmaments. Rather, we should assemble. Look at a beautiful verse. This is a verse all Christians must know. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some of you, if a bus doesn't come for you, you won't come to church. If a bus doesn't come for you, you will not go to church. But you know how to find your way to your girlfriend's house or your boyfriend's house. You know the way. No bus comes and says, all girlfriends in Dansoman, all girlfriend, Dansoman girlfriend, all girlfriend, let's go. We are going to East Legon. No, you know how to find your way. Shame on you that a bus has to come for you. Shame on you that a bus has to come for you before you come to church. Not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another all the more, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. It means we must go for fellowship more as the day is approaching. That is when there must be more meetings and more fellowshipping and more assembling of ourselves, not more withdrawing. How do you withdraw at such a time? How do you withdraw at such a time? Are you serious? I said, are you serious? Ask your neighbor. So, Charlie, you, if bus no come, you no go church. Huh? Oh, yes. Amen. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Witness and fellowship. These are the four pillars on which a Christian life is built. You read your Bible every day. You pray by yourself every day. You witness to others about Jesus. And number four, you fellowship with other believers. These are the four pillars upon which a Christian life is based. Christians, you see, if you listen, read the book Strong Christian. Christians don't go to nightclubs like born again Christians. We don't go to nightclubs. Look, let me come downstairs. Christians don't attend certain programs. Christianity, as I know it, Christians don't listen to unbeliever music. Christianity, as I know it, is number one, read your Bible every day. Number two, pray every day. Number three, you witness to people every day. And number four, you fellowship. These four, write it down. Four pillars of my Christian life. Four pillars of my Christian life. Four pillars. And each of them has scripture as the basis. This is what I know. When I became a boy, it wasn't that I didn't belong to an Orthodox church. I was baptized, I was confirmed. But born again Christianity, as I came to practice it, these were the new things that came into that. Reading of the Bible, praying, witnessing, reaching out, and then fellowshipping or assembling together. And the assembling together, it was Hebrews 10:25. Put it there, Americano version, NIV, not forsaking assembly, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing nearer. It's not less so. Now we are into COVID, we are into what? Flow, this thing, so we don't go, we're online, we do online this, online that, online whatever. No. As we're getting nearer the end and the onlines are becoming more, that is also when we need to even come together all the more. You can't sit at home. Some of you sitting at home and say, oh, we are just online. Well, you can flow online, but you need me and I need you to be able to press you and to hold you and know that I've touched you. You must come to a real church where there's real offense, where you can really be hurt. Yes. You have to come to a real church where we are all here. Normal human beings are here. That's why some of you cannot marry, because you've never had a roommate before. You've never been to boarding school. You've never had a roommate. You've never lived with other people. You've never fellowship with normal people. You are not normal. You are actually not normal. You have not had normal interactions. That's why you are funny. You went to day school the throughout. Yes. Never had a roommate before. You go out, when you come, the fridge is empty, or even there was no fridge, and you see that all the food is gone. And when they ask, where is it? No, we are only two in the room. So I don't know where the food is. Huh? What are the four pillars of your Christian life? Every day. Pray every day. Witness every day. Fellowship every day. These are four things. Maybe you didn't learn it. Christians today, they're doing all sorts of things. You wonder, is this a secular whatever? Is it an unbeliever? Yes. Secular days? We can't even tell what you are. I'm telling you, this is Christian life as we know it. Yes. And we have beloveds, not girlfriends. You have a beloved. You be relating with her. And one day you say you propose to her, they marry the person. That's all. These are what we have here. Tell your neighbor, sorry for left and right, but is that how you are living? Sorry for left and right. Oh yes. Are you withdrawing? Are you coming close? Hold your neighbor who is next to say, look, brother, I want to be close to you. I want to be close. Some of you have found a sister you have been waiting to hear. They said to tell the person, I want to be close to you. All right. Stand to your feet, everybody. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Every standing, then they that heard the word and were glad were baptized, 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. Isn't it? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. And in prayers. You are happy about the breaking of bread part. Wow. Now. Everybody say, I'm continuing. In fellowship. Now, that word fellowship, it means it's from the word koinonia. Do you know what is the word koinonia? You know what is the word koinonia? Do you want to know koinonia? Yeah. Fellowship. Okay. Now, when we say the grace, what do we say? Let's say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. The communion. Fellowship, contribution, participation. That's koinonia. Those four words. The communion, fellowship, contribution, participation. That is koinonia. So when you say, I continue to have koinonia, it means I have fellowship, contribution, participation, and what? Communion. I commune with you. I participate in your life. I contribute to your life. You contribute to my life. That's koinonia. So they continued together in Acts 2. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and koinonia. People were contributing to other people's lives. People were fellowshipping. Don't stay alone. I'm telling you, your mother and your father will never be enough. Most of us, our parents are not around. How many have realized that a lot of times your parents were not around? Look, fathering and mothering. Other people must help. The other day, one of my children was telling me that it wasn't you who taught us to eat with cutlery. And I was shocked. I said, are you sure? It says, our grandmother who taught us. You didn't teach us. I said, somebody's got to be crazy. Are you sure? Others have to help. Others have to help. My mother taught my children many things that I didn't teach them. And I remember when my last daughter was growing up, I realized that my mother had not taught her some things that she had taught the other grown up, older ones, because she was behind. So I called my mother, I said, Mommy, you have to take this one and teach her also these same things. Yes, there's a gap, a firmament. A space had come. Don't allow the spaces, so don't withdraw. Don't withdraw. Continue in the four things. Four pillars of koinonia. Number one is what? Communion. Number two, fellowship, contribution, and participation. Tell your neighbor, I want to participate in your life, in your things. I want to participate. I want to participate. And I'll tell another person, I want to contribute. I want to contribute. Or I need your contribution in my life. I need your fellowship in my life. I need your fellowship. Shh. Tell somebody standing nearby, you can't make it without me. 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 Don't allow a firmament. Listen, the art of being close. How many want to be closer? When the Bible says compact. You know, yesterday I was on a site somewhere, and then they told me that we have brought a compactor. So I went to look at the compactor. Hey! It's a caterpillar with a wheel, heavy. And one day a brother was telling me, he was standing where somebody was standing by and the compactor went over the person by mistake. Yes. And the person was flat like a paper. Flat. You have to be careful when you are near all this. Flat. He became flat. It just rolled over him like this. Oh, yes. That's compacting. Pressing us together. No space at all. Is there anybody here who feels a space between you and some other? Raise your hand if you see that a space has come. Hey, my beloved, you have withdrawn. No more space. How many can come to church without a bus coming for you? Ask your neighbor. So you, a bus will not come to church. No. You are not mature. What are the four pillars of Christian life? A Christian life. Number one is what? Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Witness every day. Fellowship every day. And what is fellowship? Koinonia. What are the four pillars of koinonia? Contribution. Once again, ready, go. Communion, fellowship, contribution, and participation. When you are getting married and your wedding bells are being announced, the way you have koinonia with others, it reflects in the wedding bells. You see, some people, they are not known when the wedding bells are. Some people have to shout by force to sort of encourage you. You are not in anything. Lift your right hand like this. Say, I'm joining something. I am going to contribute. I'm part of the church. In Jesus' name. One member, one bus. You remember? Yes. One member, one bus. Wow. I want to say something. If you are in a church, you should never struggle to get a beloved. Because your type is in the church. Your type is around. I tell you. Even if it's a second marriage or a third marriage, your type is here. The type that is very good for second marriage and third marriage. If you like your type, my bishops are saying that if you like, your type is here. Find the nearest sister and say, hey, sister, your type is in the house today. All right. Your type is in the church. Your type is in the church. Now, tell another sister, I want to participate in helping to find a beloved for you. I want to participate. Participation and contribution. God's servant, allow the participation in your life. Abigail is also under fire here. Your type is in the church. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you never to withdraw. Never allow a firmament, a space, and a gap. That's not supposed to be there. Don't allow it. Those that are withdrawn to the back, to outside, to anywhere, let the Lord himself heal you of your offense and stand at the right place that God has for you. Father, we thank you. Never shall we allow a space or a place for the enemy in our lives. We lift up our hands and we pray for the four pillars that you've given to us. Fellowship, praying every day, reading the Bible, and witnessing every day. Let them be established in our lives. We give you thanks and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, let me pray with you right now. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to save my life, my soul. If you are here like that, lift your right hand like this. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. I see some hands lifted up. If you've lifted your hand, you want to give your life to God, just lifted up high and come to me where I am standing right here. Come to me from wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you.
Come run into that mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow free.
Me, all of you in the front, lift your hands, lift up your hand like this, and close your hand. I want you to pray from your heart. But there are many people that say they are Christian, but they are not Christians. But I want to pray with you today. And everyone, lift your hand with me, say this prayer with me. If you want to join them, you have to run and join them right now. Say with me, Jesus, I can't hear you. Say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. That's why I came forward, to humble myself and give my heart to you. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Make me a new person as I serve you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. I give my soul, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, our pastor here has got a sign that says, follow me. Follow me. I want you to just follow her. She's going to bring you to a good place. Then you come back and join us. God bless you. Take your Holy Communion. Lift up the bread. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the Holy Communion. When we eat of this bread, drink of this cup, let the blessings of Christ. Jesus came to bless us. Let those blessings come upon us. The body of Jesus Christ. Body of Jesus Christ.
The cup of blessing which we bless. It's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break. The communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal. It is the meal of God.
Now the blood. How many have made some mistakes in your relationships? Let the blood of Jesus speak for us. Cleanse us. Let the blood speak better things. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now lift your hands for the blessing. The Lord multiply you and bless you. The Lord increase you and favor you. The Lord anoint you and bless you. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. May the blessings of Christ, why Jesus came to this world, be your portion. Beginning from this week, may you experience and feel the closeness of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life from now. Father, thank you for the blessing. Blessing for your children. Let your face be lifted up and shine upon us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said amen. Listen. How many have somebody has done something against you that you haven't for, that you can't easily say, Lord, forgive them, but rather you want God to punish them? Raise your hand if you want God to punish some people. Raise your hand. I want to help you. Amen. Everybody, choose one. Maybe there's a lot of people like that. Some of you have a lot of people that you want God to punish. Pick the worst. Have you got the worst in your mind? Lift your hand. I want you to pray, Lord, I'll dash it to the person. Don't judge the person again. Don't judge the person again. Let the person be forgiven. Forgive, and me too, I'm also forgiving the person. No, what God wants to bring a blessing on your life. Lift your hand and pray, Lord, don't do anything to the person. Don't let any curse, any judgment to come to the person. Lord, I've forgiven the person. Let the person be okay. I've also left the person, Lord. You too, Lord, don't hurt the person. Don't judge the person. Don't do anything. This is all I'm asking, for mercy for that person. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray as we lift our hands up, so that, Lord, when we pray, forgive us as you also forgive. Forgive them as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. That scripture will be fulfilled, because we have the ability to release and to forgive. Thank you for a special forgiveness that we have practiced today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.